Let's go to 1 Peter, chapter 3, or 4, I'm sorry. There's a reporter and a photographer that are going to be here probably about noon or maybe before. They're going to spend today and the rest of the day and then tomorrow. We've got a... They're here investigating or doing a story on Ewing, Gene Ewing in California, God's Ghostwriter. So I asked Harry to set up the entire room devoted to Robert Tilton, if the Rutledge's living room. Has anybody gotten your permission?
We're way ahead on
you. Okay. But we need several people to help right after Bible study. To what time?
The stuff's already over. At 9:30, we're going to carry him.
Who?
Me, Ronnie, Pete.
You got enough people?
Joe.
Okay.
Some of it's already up to this couple.
But just to clear up here, it's not the entire room to go to the Robert Tilton. It's the entire room to go to the Gene Ewing, right?
Yeah. But the cliche is the entire room devoted to Robert Tilton. No, we're going to do a story on Robert Tilton. All right. What?
Where's the map?
The last time we met, we talked about a great deal about this verse 6. The idea that for this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead. But we're going to start now in verse 7. The end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Remember when I last talked to the combined groups, I said that this must be a new beginning. And the beginning must have as its predicate this idea of fervent charity among ourselves. You know, once somebody leaves, if they leave, then I don't see any evidence in the scripture. I don't see anything. I mean, I don't care whether people go talk to them or not, but the idea of chasing after somebody is not in the scriptures. But the idea of laying down the right to yourself to meet the needs that are within the community is the basis and essence of Christianity. I just found out yesterday the intense need that Michelle has been in for months. I got so mad I can't even. It's a good thing that I'm not there now, because the idea that we would have someone in the community that has the incredible situation that they're in with the baby and then two babies. One of them is severely... She has absolutely no time, no freedom. And that's driving Michael crazy. Is totally and completely unacceptable. It is the opposite of what Christianity is. That they would be right down the street in that kind of need, and we didn't meet the need, is so far out of it just makes me cry. And there are others. As long as someone is here, it is our responsibility, if they don't show up for meetings, to go visit them. If they have a problem, to help them. If they leave, then they leave. But I was shocked. Maybe I've just gotten one side of the story. But the idea that the hallmark of a community is that you lay down the right to yourself for the benefit of others, that you prefer the other's interest over your own, that you lay down your life without any consideration to whether or not they deserve it, it's got to begin. Today, this morning. Anybody have any response?
Well, yes, she talked last night, and we did talk about this last night.
Last night meaning?
Big group.
Oh, good, she came then.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, well, I encouraged. But we must be so attuned to the needs of the people that you prefer their interest over your own. Your interests in the economy of God have less than zero value. Your functions, your activity has less than no value in the economy of God. I am fulfilled as I fulfill others. What happens to me is totally unimportant as long as I meet your need. That must be the basis for everyone in this community. Because the fact is, that's the only way you will ever be fulfilled. Everything else is an illusion. Everything else is a lie of the mind. The privatization of your life, the individual activity that's going on within your world is absolutely meaningless. In the body of Christ. Does everybody understand that? You're not here to be fulfilled. You're here to die. To die to self-interest. And above all things, above all things, above all things, have fervent charity. Fervent, with zeal. I am less than interested in your activities unless you have laid down your life for the people here. And there isn't one or two that are called to do that. You don't have the right to preach, to talk. You don't even have the right to talk to somebody unless you have done that. You certainly have no right to judge their condition. And above all things, have fervent, charity among yourselves. That's what it means to confirm the testimony within you. There is no other, there's no greater test of the confirming the testimony in that you've lost the I motive. You've lost the right to yourself in every area. My God, if someone has a need, that is why we exist. And if somehow we haven't provided the environment in which that is made known, then we are a joke. See, we could meet once a week and sit so that we face one way and we didn't have to look at the people behind us or to the side of us, and we just look at the back of the heads of the people in front of us. Then we would have an excuse, because we could say, well, I didn't know. But now we have no excuse in community, except our own selfishness. Anybody have any response?
I was thinking of the thing we were talking about of people coming to us with questions that we have to have answers for, and whether or not they would come. And that's the reason they would come, is to see our fervent love one for another.
Amen.
If that's not there, then why would anybody be interested in asking anybody?
Now the word, the next verse here, the next part of verse, which verse is it? 8. The second, or the B part, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. That doesn't mean that your acts of charity shall cover your sin. That's not what that means. Because that would be a major heresy. What it means is that the charity shall cover the multitude of offenses against you by those other people, and vice versa. Remember, the first of the Ten Commandments, the first tablet covered your relationship to God. It was 1 through 4. And then 6 through 10 were on the second tablet, and they covered your inner relationships sideways. And even in the percentages, there's 1 to 4, there's 4 of the 10 commandments are related to your relationship to God. But the majority of the 10 commandments are related to how that is lived out in your relationship one to another. And the same is true with the whole law. That's why the first and great commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Remember, love is a verb. Action. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. That's the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The neighbor is the one in need nearest you. Your life has to stop if somebody else is in need. Can you hear me? It Somebody's got to have a response to this. Maybe you've all covered it last night and they're all perfect now.
Well, I have an example with JJ, which I don't know if he's in need or not.
JJ and what's his name in the back here? They're you know, no matter what you do, they keep hanging around. They're part of the mixed multitude. And they're to be treated just like everybody else. If they're here, they're here. Has nothing to do with fairness. Would you like God to be fair with you? Do you want fair with you? Are you finding anything by reading ahead, Gary?
Well, I'm not reading ahead, I'm reading behind. Love covering a multitude of sins. I just never saw it that way. Your love covers their sins.
Right? Yeah, otherwise it would be heresy.
It would be about me, not about...
Right, it would be the antithesis of what it says in here, because it would be about you. Fervent charity. That's agape with zeal. At the expense of yourself. At the expense of your own interest. At the expense of your own scheduling. At the expense of your own time. And at the expense of your own life. Some of you are here, you know, you've been here, the only thing you want to do is to try to get fulfilled here. Well, you forget it. You might as well go home. Just go someplace else. This isn't a place for you to get fulfilled. This is a place for you to die. And above all, have fervent charity among yourselves. That means there's nothing above it. Why? Because the first and great commandment is also love the Lord thy God with all your heart and soul and your might. And the second one is like unto it. It's the same commandment. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. In other words, their interests are more important than your own. Verb. Love is a verb. Agapeo. You give breath to them more than you give it to yourself. You find a mystery then. Once you stop worrying about your own self, then God takes care of you. Now, maybe I've been totally deluded, but I think I know most of you, and you've done a terrible job being concerned with yourself. It just hasn't worked. Well, maybe it's time now that you forget yourself. Totally. Above all, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. It doesn't say use hospitality and above all things have fervent charity if you agree with them. Or it doesn't say use all charity if you like them or if you think they're nice. Or it doesn't say, well, you don't do that if you don't think they're trying to do their best. It doesn't say any of that. It says above all things. Without regard to your opinion about the situation. Everything else is just spitting in the wind. It's just, the words are just clanging cymbals. Now, does anybody, now that I've closed the Bible, does anybody have anything to say? You know, here's what bugged me. Here's why I got so upset yesterday. Is that all I was told was that Mike and Michelle had then decided they wanted to leave. They don't want to leave. They need help. They don't have any place to go. They need our lives.
It's not the reason why they're talking about getting divorced.
Partly. There's a whole lot of reasons, and there's a whole lot of things, but I read this letter to Mike that Michelle had written when they were gone. I wish to write to you because you are, this is to Gary and Judy. I wish to write to you because you are constantly in my thoughts, especially Judy and Cheryl. It has been almost 2 years since I left physically and much more longer emotionally. Please believe me, though, that I didn't discard all that I heard, just the things I didn't care much for. Ironically, it's the words that I didn't care for that have been my solid ground these years. You are constantly in my thoughts. I sometimes think back on my blatant disregard of life there and see what a fool I was / am. I don't regret the path I'm on. I've recalled more and understood more of the teaching now than I ever did while I was there. I understand now the words, once you're here, your life can never be the same. I've tried to forget all and turn away completely. It doesn't work. God puts a big old stamp on hold on any of my plans. I've tried to be a faithful, loyal drone in a Baptist church. It doesn't work. I'm not writing to tell you how I am. I'm not asking to go back or to beg forgiveness. I just ask that you share the following. Trinity is so very easy to take for granted and even easier to dislike. I say dislike because of the constant in-your-face action you experience. You have no privacy, and you hear words that go against your every thought. Be thankful for it. Be thankful that you have 40 people willing to kick your butt so you can get over yourself faster. Be thankful you don't have to struggle every day with being hypocritical in your beliefs so you can just belong. Be thankful that you have a family to eat dinner with instead of sitting around the TV not talking. Be thankful that you can sit at ease on the floor instead of in a pew like a drone. Be thankful you can share yourself, good and bad, and be loved regardless. Be thankful that you have others to interfere in your marriage. Be thankful that you can enjoy Passover with such joy and abandon instead of taking silly family photos. Be thankful that you have others to sing, "I'm yours, Lord." Be thankful you know the words. Be thankful that when time ends, you will not be alone. You don't realize how precious a gift you are until you lose it. Having a mate, family, house, good job, sex is not all that important. You'll still be living a life you believe that will fulfill you. I was asked a simple question numerous times. My answer, I am nothing but he wants and needs me to be. You see, we've got to look at the need without regard to the reasons for the need. That's the mystery of Christianity. Otherwise, we're just like the Sodomites. If the bed is too, if they're too short for the bed, we stretch them. If they're too long for the bed, we cut their legs off. We have to make them meet our standards in order to provide them a place. And for that reason, Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. There's got to be a revolution here. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. Amen? See, that was the next thing in the... I didn't even have to make that up. That was right there in the next thing we were studying. All right. Anybody else? What? You're looking weird. Weirder than usual.
Hair's like half the man he used to be.
No.
I heard he's like lost a lot.
10% maybe.
I went to size 34 jeans this
week. Oh, he's wasting away.
That's what I wear.
First time in 35 years.
Oh, how come it doesn't look 34? All right, take a big guy.
At least that's 34 with me inside him rather than hanging over him.
All righty, take a big guy.